meeting in the conference room at 5:30. And then at 5:30 on Tuesday, there's a PELP fundraiser meeting in the parlor. And on February the 13th, next Sunday after church, there'll be a monthly children's activity, and it'll be in the fellowship hall. The theme will be love, and lunch will be served, and there'll be a Bible lesson with related activities and crafts. Wednesday, Pastor Gordon is leading a Bible study on Wednesdays at noon in the church parlor. And there will be one on February the 9th. The topic is the book of Genesis. The plan is to limit the study to 1 hour to allow those who are coming and bringing their lunch to study on their lunch hour. So bring your study Bible and notepad. All right. We want you to join us as we raise money for PELC at our 8th annual Mardi Gras fundraiser at Crown Colony. King tables are $1,000 and 2 free drinks per person, seating 10. Queen tables are $750 and 1 free drink per person, seating for 10. Then individual tickets are $50 per person. And I'll be in the Narthex this Sunday, today, selling raffle tickets, which are also available at the preschool office during the week. Les bon temps brûlés. You can turn your announcements over, and please look at the people that are listed for prayer and remember them nightly. And be sure and sign the ritual of friendship, which is at the end, the red folders that are on the interior of the rows, and fill them out so that we know you're here. And I think that's it.
Thank you. Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. Loving God, you have called forth disciples and prophets to live and speak your word. Give us ears to hear, lives to respond, and voices to proclaim the good news of salvation, which we know in our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. God asks, "Whom shall I send?"
Here I am.
Jesus says, "Follow me and share in my work."
Here I am.
The Holy Spirit gathers each one of us for worship.
Here we are to worship God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 1, Holy, Holy, Holy. Proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to go to the throne of God asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Merciful God, You call, but we seldom hear. You beckon, yet we turn away. Sin keeps us from responding to you, thwarting even our best efforts. Forgive our lack of attention to things that matter, and restore our sense of your priorities. Focus us on your call to worship and service as we seek to follow after Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ even prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Receive the peace of God's forgiveness. Let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. Thanks, Kip.
Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. Our first lesson today is from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, which is on page 635 of your Pew Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Holy wisdom, holy words, thanks be to God.
I don't have a necklace for you, Lexi. But I do have a story. Did you know that there's a religion called Buddhism? No? Well, there was a man called Buddha, and he had lots of wise things to say. And a lot of people followed him, and in fact, a lot of people still do follow him. But you know, he died. You know, there's another man who's named Confucius, and he had a lot of wise things to say. And a lot of people in China followed him, and they still follow him. And he died. And then there was a man named Jesus who lived and had a lot of wise things to say. And then he died. But you know what's different with Jesus? He came back to life. He came back to life. And he is alive and living with us today. And that's the difference between a religion that just has a lot of smart, wise things to say, and Christianity, where we worship a living Lord who's with us and who loves us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you came to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much that you're still with us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
We join our hearts as one.
Our next reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved. If you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Every Sunday, as a part of our worship, we say what we believe. Those statements of faith, called creeds, come from the word credo, which in Latin means I believe. We have, as part of our Constitution, Presbyterian Church has two books. Book one is called the Book of Confessions, and it is full of creeds that are statements of faith written at different times in history to address different events. The introduction to that book says this: Confessions address the issues, problems, dangers, and opportunities of a given historical situation, end quote. In this light, we turn to today's scripture, in which Paul uses a creed to address a problem that has arisen in the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church apparently had some teachers who had questioned the fact that Jesus' body had come back to life. Now, to understand why this question arose, it's helpful to understand an aspect of Greek philosophy from the day. And that philosophy has also had a profound effect on Christianity, both then and still does today. That Greek philosophy was called Gnosticism. The word comes from the Greek word gnosis, which even kind of sounds like what it means, and that is knowing or knowledge, gnosis. All sorts of special knowledge was believed to hold special power. And by receiving and believing that special knowledge, one became saved. That is, The believer had keys to heaven through that knowledge. Now, one of those common Gnostic beliefs was that material things were of the world and were evil, and spiritual things were of heaven and were good. That's sometimes called dualism. And that's pitting the physical world against the spiritual world. And that's even affected us today. Have you ever heard the saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? That's kind of capturing that sense of Gnosticism, of saying somehow our creation, our physical being is weak. Some Gnostic Christians who'd never known Jesus personally believed that Jesus had always been a spirit, because if he'd ever had a physical body, he'd somehow had participated in evil, and they couldn't believe that. Well, likewise, this Gnostic influence made it hard for some to believe that Jesus' body was actually resurrected from the dead, since the physical body to them was a sign of physical evil. It's important to note that this Greek dualism was never part of the Jewish religion. The Jews taught that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing, ex nihilo, and stated that, what did God say? Those of the Genesis class? It is good. It's good. It's very good, is what God said at the end of each day of creation. So there's no reason in Judaism to say that somehow physical creation was bad and the spirit was good. Or, as they said back in the 60s and 70s, God doesn't create junk. That is, God only creates good things. Therefore, there's no reason to deny the resurrection of the body on the basis of dualism. Furthermore, Paul states not only his belief in the resurrection of the body of Jesus, but also states evidence. Paul lists a group of witnesses, all of whom saw Jesus alive after Jesus had been dead and buried. In fact, had Paul tried to call all those witnesses to a courtroom, the judge wouldn't have allowed them all to testify. He'd say it's repetitious. Too many of them. Choose a few of them. But Paul's witness list included Cephas, that is Pete, another name for Peter, then the 12, that is the apostles along with Peter, then a group of more than 500 brothers and sisters, then James, most likely he's talking about James, the brother of Jesus, and then two other apostles, probably another group beyond the 12, and then to Paul himself, you know, on the road to Damascus, when Paul sees the great light and he's blinded, and he hears, "Paul, Paul, why are you prosecuting me?" Actually, I think he said, "Saul, Saul," at that point, because he hadn't taken the name Paul. "Saul, Saul, why are you prosecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "It's Jesus." Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. So few, the bodily resurrection of Jesus, there are few things that could be proven with that many witnesses. Few events in history. Some have suggested that the resurrection of Jesus was created over time by Christians as some kind of mythology. Lee Strobel, an atheist turned Christian, was a journalist, and he interviewed a bunch of different people. He had a legal training at Yale Law School, and he ended up writing a book called The Case for Christ. And he put in there interviews with 13 scholars asking tough questions about evidence for events in the life of Jesus including the resurrection. One of those scholars points to today's scripture as important evidence. He states that this creedal statement in Paul makes it clear that belief in the resurrection of Christ was central to Christian faith even back way back in the first century, not something created as a mythology. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians confirming what he had taught them and what he knew to be true from his conversion, which took place sometime after the crucifixion itself. This letter to the Corinthians was likely written even before the Gospels were written. Paul makes it quite clear that Jesus died, that Jesus died for our sins, and that Jesus was buried, and that Jesus was raised on the third day. Paul is stating these things as provable facts. So why does Paul care? Resurrection faith means we serve a risen Lord. We do not just believe in a nice set of beliefs that unlock the keys to heaven like some Gnostic belief. We do not just believe that Jesus is a really great guy who said really excellent things. We follow a risen Lord who gave his life for us, but who also rose from death for us, sits at the right hand of God for us, and prays for us. Jesus' resurrection not only tells us who Jesus is, it also tells us that the resurrection of the body is important. The fact that Jesus took on a human body to begin with tells us that God loves us and loves creation. This is what's sometimes called incarnational theology, meaning Jesus took on a physical form because of God's love for creation. God demonstrated God's love for us by taking human form and by living among us in God's good creation. Likewise, God demonstrated God's love for us by being willing to die for us. Even as Jesus died, he prayed that his killers be forgiven for what they were doing. Even after dying, Jesus was willing to return in bodily form to reiterate God's love for us. Nothing we can do, even killing Jesus, can separate us from the love of God. By returning to earth in a physical body, Jesus demonstrated that the physical world is sacred. Now, what do we mean by saying the physical world is sacred? It means that it's set apart for God. It's here for God's use. The bodily resurrection of Jesus refutes any notion that the physical world is not sacred to God. All God's creation is sacred, meaning that all God's creation is set aside for God's purpose. The practical effect of this affirmation is that we cannot close God out of any part of our lives or any part of our world. It's been common for business people to justify what happens in commerce by saying, it's just business. Somehow the phrase just business makes it all right to throw people out of their homes when it is more profitable to sell the land for development. Sometimes the phrase just business makes it okay to not to pay people for work they've done or for supplies they've delivered because bankruptcy laws make it legal not to pay. Somehow the phrase just business makes it okay to amass fortunes on the backs of those who are just getting by with schemes like payday loans. If the law allows it, must be okay. Just business, regardless of what Jesus teaches. When we affirm the resurrection of the body, when we affirm incarnational theology, we affirm that Jesus would clear the money changers out of any market, because God's holiness extends beyond the temple. God's love for the people and for the world extends beyond the doors of the church or the temple. Our resurrection faith should also extend beyond the doors of our church and into God's sacred world. Our resurrection faith should make a real difference in how we do business in God's sacred world. May it be so. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, we come to the table that Jesus set for us. This is not First Presbyterian Church's table. This is not the Presbyterian Church USA's table. This is the Lord's table. And the Lord invites everyone who seeks Him to come. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. Like a shepherd, you gather us up. You fill us with the finest wheat and turn our sorrow into joy. Therefore, we praise you, joining the song of the universal church and the heavenly choir. Blessed is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through Christ, all things come into being. He is the light that darkness cannot overcome. Your word made flesh, full of grace and truth. Bless this bread and bless this cup, that we might remember Jesus, our resurrected Savior. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread. And after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will the communion servers please come forward? Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you.
Body of Christ broken for you.
Thanks be to God. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, that you have fed us with your mercy and poured out your Spirit in this place. Continue to nourish and fill us each day, that we may live as your beloved people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and let's say together what we believe using the Nicene Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. What do you believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the glory to God. Hymnal to number 729. Lord, I want to be a Christian. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Thank you.
Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Joining our hearts and minds in prayer, let us call on the name of the Lord, saying, O God of grace, we pray for the church. Let all that we say and do be done for the sake of the gospel, sharing the blessing and joy of salvation. O God of grace,
bless us with peace.
We pray for the world. Lift up the downtrodden, gather up the outcast. Rebuild ruined cities and heal wounded relationships so that all people and creatures may praise you. O God of grace,
bless us with peace.
We pray for our communities. Show us how to help the neighbors who are gathered around our door, welcoming them with the love of Jesus. O God of grace,
bless us with peace.
We pray for the earth. Renew the life you have created. Resurrect dead ecosystems and heal this wounded planet so that all may enjoy your glorious creation. O God of grace,
bless us with peace.
We pray for loved ones. Reach out to those who are sick or hurting. By your healing touch, lift them up so that they may live to serve you, O Christ, our light. O God of grace,
bless us with peace.
Mighty God, strengthen your people so that we may live in the world as those you have chosen and called through Jesus Christ our Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 468. In my life, Lord, be glorified.
Be glorified.
Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live practicing resurrection faith. See the love of God for all the sacred things around you. And live for our resurrected Lord, who loved this world, died for the sins of this world, was buried in the ground of this world, and was bodily resurrected for this world. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.